When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful Overbooked. It's Saturday. It's February 4th. It's my wife's birthday, so that's pretty neat. Welcome to Newsworthy. This is a good time now. Now we're all happy and everyone's excited, and Jeremy's here and I'm here. And how are you doing, Jeremy Lambert?
Happy birthday to Mrs. Joel Pearl, your much, much better half. I'm well. It is Saturday. There's allegedly another wrestling event tonight, so... Let's go wrestling. Let's do that wrestling.
I've been told that there's an event on Sunday at 10 p.m. that I have to cover that is wrestling adjacent.
What? Huh?
Yeah, it's a weird one. I'll tell you offline, but people will see it. It's 10 p.m. Just check my Twitter, I guess. We'll talk about it. It's going to be
one of those... What is happening?
Our friend Cameron is having a conversation with a certain rabble rouser in the wrestling community.
This sounds awful.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, this is not actually something I need to deal with, so I don't care.
This is very much an online thing that I'm sure some people will find absolutely fascinating and others will find absolutely disturbing. We'll find out.
No, I don't care about this. That's fine.
Speaking of disturbing, I've got five stories from the week that Jeremy sent to me. And you know how it goes. They were either really, really popular or they weren't, and they deserve a little bit more attention. So let's talk about them, shall we? You ready, Jeremy?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's go for it. Number one, Cody Rhodes would play Shane McMahon's theme on the elevator at New Japan Pro Wrestling before AEW started. What is this, Jeremy Lambert? Cody Rhodes is playing Here Comes the Money. He's on Impulsive. I haven't listened to this interview yet, but I've seen clips. Please talk to me about Cody loving Mr. Shane McMahon.
Cody did the old car wash of interviews. Now that he is back, he did about five backstage interviews at the Rumble. He did the press conference. He did Logan's podcast. He did the bump. He did After the Bell. I'm sure he'll be on one of the Ringer podcasts at some point this weekend. He's done it, doing all the interviews. Shocked he didn't go on Busted Open. I guess maybe there's still time for him to be on Busted Open. But doing all the interviews is old Cody Rhodes. And during the Impulsive podcast, because they ask questions that nobody else asks, because they are, I'll just say it, not up to date on everything.
True journalists.
They thought Cody was related to Lana Rhodes, who you can Google Lana Rhodes if you would like to. That's your call if that's something you would like to do. But I don't even know how this story. I think like they just offhandedly mentioned Shane McMahon, and that became, you know, Cody was like, oh yeah, let me tell you this. Of like, he'd get on the elevator and he would just play Here Comes the Money. And he'd get like looks from New Japan people. He said, like, you know, I hadn't been around the big money for a long time when I was doing my excursion, he called it. And he knew AEW was starting and he knew he'd be around the big money. So he just decided to play Here Comes the Money. This is either like one of the best Cody lies ever. Of he just gets on the elevator and just starts playing this song to piss off his peers and get weird looks from them. Or it's one of the best Cody bits ever that he would decide to do this to piss off his peers and get weird looks from them. What a guy Cody Rhodes is. Just what a fascinating human being.
He is absolutely the funniest and weirdest human being I have ever like read about. I would love to meet the guy and like pick his brain off air, just completely off screen, like just not totally just us, you know what I mean? What's the word? Off the record. Let's do that.
Candid. Yeah, candid just conversation. Candid. Off the record. Yeah,
I don't think he and I would like be friends at any point in life, but I feel like the stories alone would make me at least like him a little bit more. more than I already do.
he is just a fascinating man, because some of these stories, you know, he's, I think Brian has said it, like, Cody Rhodes taught me to lie and everything. We know he's not telling the truth in all of these stories, but he is such a great storyteller on screen and in these interviews. And yeah, I don't know if he's lying sometimes. I don't know if he's telling the truth on this stuff, but just a fascinating man, that Cody Rhodes. I want him on the spotlight so bad. Steven Jensen wouldn't be able to control himself, so I don't know how that interview would go. But I want him to do our show so bad, and I have no idea what we'd ask him, but it would be a great conversation. I'm sure it would be a great, I just want to know, like, why are you setting yourself on fire for just random matches? Why are you doing this? First question I'd ask him would just be, what do you want to talk about? So what do you want to talk about, Cody? That'd be my first question to him.
I'm surprised.
I'm glad he's back. Well, you know, they don't have the humor that I do.
It's fair.
Joel Pearl. They're not asking these hard hitting questions that I would be asking. Like, oh, tell us about winning the Rumble. Tell us what it was like recovering from the surgery. Mm. Tell us about facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. It's the same questions. All these people asking the same questions. They're not trying to get the real crux and the meat of the story like I would be doing. Steven Jensen, I would ask him about lying too. Ask him, like, Brian Daniels says you're one of the best liars in the world. Response: what do you have to say about that? Are you related to Lana Rhodes?
Are you related to Lana? That's an important one, I think. The last quote of the transcription here, I love it. I just flipped to the point where now I can't see Shane and not be like, I ruined your song by playing it everywhere.
I think he said in this interview too, like, yeah, I've been in the ring with Shane. Like, he lays it in. I was like, absolutely not. This is a top tier Cody lie right here, saying Shane McMahon.
He had Shane's last match before he left in 2009, I think. I'm pretty sure Cody was in a six man tag that involved Shane McMahon. And yeah, those punches. Anyway.
I love Cody Rhodes. Bless Cody Rhodes. Glad he's back. He's not running for president with that neck tattoo. I also learned that in this interview as well.
The levels of regret on that man's face that he's trying to hide about that neck tattoo are amazing.
Nah, he loves it. He loves it.
The story that he tells now about it, how he's like, oh yeah, the tattoo artist put the stencil on my neck and didn't show me how big it was until
this is why Cody is great, though, because you know these are like just complete lies. Garbage. That this man is telling. He's such a worker that it's so fantastic of, like, you know, you get asked these questions so many times, and over the years it evolves. The story just evolves of, like, I've already told it this way, so now I've got to, like, spice it up a little bit. Let me tell it this way and just recreate headlines that are decades old at this point. And Cody's not, the tattoo, neck tattoo's not decades old. Some of these stories are. It's like, let me just recreate these stories, but add that extra in there of, like, oh, this is new information. Oh, Cody's a genius at this shit, man. I love this guy. Cody Rhodes, please be my best friend.
Before we move on, I have to point out Riccuccino had a wonderful tweet where he said, picture it. Cody Rhodes walks onto the press conference stage after WrestleMania holding both titles, sits down, and he says, guys, I got to do it. And he grabs a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and just picks it in and just goes to town on that box and says, I got to be honest, guys, it tastes really damn good.
At the press conference with the pitch black, just being like, you know, gotta do it. I gotta try this. I got water, but I have a pitch black in here somewhere.
Yeah, this is basically pitch black. Hang on.
He's like, gotta be honest, it's really good.
Really good. Like,
Cody Rhodes ain't drinking another sip of that pitch black in his life.
He had water absolutely in the back. Not. Ready to swish and just spit out as much as he could. Whatever was left in his body, he's like, oh, get it out.
He should have chugged it like I did on camera, but he's a coward. Now let me be nice to my new best friend, Cody Rhodes.
Check out that short, by the way, on our YouTube channel.
Yes, please do. I went through hell chugging that pitch black while all the other cowards I shared the screen with just took a sip and that was it. You know, I actually, like a man, finished that whole thing and then nearly puked, but did not puke. Let the record show. I did not puke. At least Cody tried it. You know, everybody else that went up there, what was Bray doing? It was his fucking match. He should have been dousing that thing down. Just going after it.
The logo tattooed on his arm. That's good enough.
No, he should have tried that shit too. Cody, like a real man, actually, dude, what? He gets it, right? He's like, the pitch black is up here. I got to try this and I got to put it over because mm-hmm. this is what the company man would do. He gets it. Like, Cody fucking gets it. I love this guy.
You should have done the all-in conference or the whatever conference it was. What was the, which AEW show had the Cracker Barrel sponsorship? That wasn't all-in, was it?
No, I think that was like the first Double or Nothing. Wasn't it like the first show?
Whatever show it was, Cody should have come out with a giant plate of food and been like, this Cracker Barrel, it's fueled me throughout this entire event.
Should have been playing the little peg game. You know what I'm saying? Should have been playing that different.
All right, we spent way too much time on this story. Let's
move on. Cody fucking rules, dude. I could spend years talking about this guy. He's the best. I give Steven Jensen a lot of shit because he's like way hardcore Cody fan. Like, my heart of hearts love Cody Rhodes. He's the best.
It's good to see him back. I think he brings a lot of entertainment to our faces. Clearly, we have a lot to talk about with Cody. So let's move on. Charlotte Flair, another goat of ours. Charlotte Flair learned of winning the SmackDown Women's title at the arena when she returned. Didn't have her gear. This is Charlotte Flair talking to Ryan Satin on the Out of Character podcast. Or Out of Character show, because they do a video as well, as Sonya Deville showed up in the middle of this particular episode. Either way, Charlotte Flair didn't bring her gear. What a professional this Charlotte Flair isn't. Hey, Jeremy Lambert, what is this? The first thing wrestlers say is always bring your gear. And Charlotte Flair couldn't be asked to do it. What's going on?
I feel like this is bullshit that she didn't bring her gear. I think
brand new gear just suddenly appeared and Charlotte Flair is back.
I think this is we're talking about, you know, great liars in wrestling. Ric Flair is up there and his daughter, I think, is not far behind. I can't imagine any wrestler just like not bringing their gear, especially Charlotte Flair, who, yeah, maybe you don't know if you're wrestling, but you know to bring your gear. Like that's a golden rule in wrestling. Always bring your gear. Fortunately, she didn't live too far away from the venue. And she said the person who cleans her house, it seems like they're better friends than just, this is my house cleaner. But they were able to run the gear over right quickly. Yeah. Brand new gear. Never had it before. Just fortunately it was already made and everything. She said she was going to potentially return. She wanted to return around Survivor Series, but didn't make sense for the story. So she probably did have the gear made ready to go and everything, but she didn't have her gear. I don't know. I don't know about this.
It's an 80-90 minute so drive between Tampa and Orlando. That's where she lives, and that's where the show was that night. So it's entirely possible.
She said she got it there in a half hour.
Oh, well, then she is bomb-ass lying is what she's doing.
She said she got that gear there in a half hour.
Flown over? Like, what is this? You can't even fly that shit in a half hour. That's a 10-minute flight. What is this? Charlotte Flair, what are we doing here? Your cleaning lady definitely went way above the speed limit to get gear then. She may be a wanted criminal because she went almost, I don't know, 100 miles an hour. What is wrong with you?
I actually don't think she said it was a half hour. She said something about a half hour. She did say, like, I got to the arena at 5 and then
okay.
She made the call.
Yeah, I see this.
And then she said, like, oh, she got to the arena about 7:15. So it took about 2 hours. She did say something about, like, it was a half hour of, like, traffic or something. And maybe that's why it took a little bit longer. I'm just straight up lying on this podcast. I learned from the best, Cody and Charlotte. I still don't know how true this story is.
It's absolutely nuts. I mean, I love it, but also, come on. Come on, Charlotte. Be a professional. Bring your gear everywhere. You're going to go on vacation? You bring your gear. Let's move on. You know who always brings their gear? Bob the Drag Queen.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes.
I was waiting for some sort of reaction there.
I thought you were going to continue and say something intelligent, which that's my mistake.
Mm-mm. Bob the Drag Queen recalls... Wow, we're going to try that again. No, we're not. You know what? We're just going to roll with it. Bob the Drag Queen recalls... Oh, that's a really awkward line to say. Recalls crying after Mick Foley retired, compares Gold Dust to Prince. This is amazing. Speaking of Stradio Lab, we got to talk about Bob the Drag Queen. Where did you find this? How? That's my only question. It's like, what are we doing here? How did we find this? I'm very interested.
I just search, Joel. I have search methods, and I like search for just like WWE interview, WWE podcast. Sometimes I'll just search for like WWE star, something like that. And I do this with all companies, not just WWE, just to try, because the way they promote stuff is, you know, like WWE star so-and-so joins us for this thing. I don't even remember what the topic was on this. I think I might have done like WWE legend. And so in the description of this podcast, it was like, Bob the Drag Queen joins us, talking about like, is WWE legend Mick Foley mother? Was part of the description on this. And so that's how it popped up in my search history, or in my search, just searching for podcasts. The cat is stuck behind the Ligia. She's very fat and she's stuck behind our dresser. Okay, she got out. Sorry, I was making sure the cat wasn't going to die.
I'm not editing this out, by the way. This is
wouldn't be good. Great. She, the wife has walked into the room. This is great podcast material here. She just went behind the dresser there, baby, and just like she tried to like back out, and you know she's very fat, and she could not get out. And finally, after a couple of minutes, she managed to get her fat ass out of there. Yeah, the cat's not very smart, so I don't know what she was searching for. Searching for WWE podcasts, clearly. Do we have anything? Do we have treats back there? She was searching for treats.
People listening to this in audio are so confused, and I love it.
All right, what are we talking about? All right, so how did I find this podcast?
Bob the Drag Queen. How did you find out Bob the Drag Queen was a wrestling fan?
What a interlude there on this show. Bob the Drag Queen, he was on this and clearly loves wrestling and just talks about his love for Mick Foley and everything. And I've said this before, but like I really like doing like crossover like articles like this, because you're not going to find a lot of this stuff elsewhere. I don't think you're going to find anybody covering Bob the Drag Queen interviews, because most people are, you know, looking for wrestling specific interviews. And I am a big fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, one of my favorite shows to watch. Bob the Drag Queen's one of my favorite queens that was on any season ever, and won, I believe, season 8 as well. I've been to a few drag shows. Like, drag is like, and Bob says it, like, wrestling's like the gayest thing in existence, because it is just like men and women dressing up, living out fantasies, like playing characters and stuff. And like, you know, people, I don't know people's thoughts on drag and things like that, but drag is the best. Just these queens going out there, putting on performances, like having a grand old time, the audience interaction, doing all their special talents, whatever that might be. Like, some of them are really great singers, some of them are great comedians, just performers in general. It's so good. So yeah, there's crossover between like drag and wrestling, whether people want to admit that or not. So hearing Bob the Drag Queen like talk about like how much wrestling has just like impacted him, in his childhood and everything, was really cool. And so, you know, I wanted to just run the story because I like the crossover stuff, and this was a nice little story. I thought Bob the Drag Queen rules. I hope we get more Bob the Drag Queen talking about wrestling. Let's try to get him on spotlight as well.
Bob says my favorite wrestler was Mick Foley. I was obsessed with him. Mick Foley was a schleppy looking average run of the mill guy, but he was the everyman of WWE. That's a pretty great interpretation of Mick Foley as a man. I give him that. It's very fun.
Yeah, let's move on. It was like Mick Foley is just like, if I can do it, you can do it. Cause they talk about, like, you know, most of these people are big, jacked up, like great looking people who have like no flaws. Then, you know, here's Mick Foley, where it's just like, it's Mick Foley. People have seen pictures of Mick Foley.
Well, the other guy that people are going to talk about is Pat McAfee, who says the original plan and goal was to return in the Royal Rumble match. Pat McAfee on his show talked about his return to WWE. Big surprise, kind of caught everyone off guard, including Michael Cole and Corey Graves. Michael Cole, who, of course, very famously stood up at his announce desk like a lost puppy looking for his best friend as Pat McAfee came out to announce this show. Talk to me about Pat McAfee. Everyone loves the guy, or at least most people. Will Washington doesn't for some reason. But otherwise, everyone loves Pat McAfee and the Pat McAfee show.
Pat McAfee show is great, first off, and I was a big surprise that he was out there for the Rumble, and I think people like thought there might be a chance he made an appearance. I think people thought that maybe he was going to be in the Rumble, and then he came out to start the show to do commentary. It was good that like he even said like, yeah, the goal was to like be in the Rumble. Like, I was kind of training for it, and by like week 9 of the college football season, I was like, oh man, I cannot get in proper shape for this. And like McAfee, and to his credit, he could have easily, because he was, I think it was when AJ Hawk was on there with him, and AJ was like, you couldn't just like go in there and just like do 30 seconds and be fine. And like McAfee like easily could have, if Pat McAfee gets in the Rumble and just does like 30 seconds, hits some clothesline, maybe jumps off the top or something, gets eliminated, people have been like, oh sweet, McAfee, that was great. Like, to his credit, he's like, yeah, I'm not like gonna be disrespectful like that, of just show up, do a couple things, and then get eliminated. Like, I'm not trying to take a spot because of that. And again, is he lying? I don't know, whatever it might be, but I thought it was nice of him to acknowledge that a lot of work goes into this, and there are only 30 spots, and maybe he should just, you know, give that to somebody else if he didn't feel he could deliver a top tier Pat McAfee performance. And so he just did commentary, which was great. There's the kind of companion article to this of Michael Cole talking about his return. And he didn't know what it was. He didn't know, or he was surprised by it, because he, you know, he wasn't told that this was happening or anything. And there's a great story Michael Cole tells of, you know, he hears the music hit, and everybody associates Pat McAfee with the Seven Nation Army, because that's what he walked out to when SmackDown was dark. That's what he walked out to for his matches too, as well. But so he associates McAfee with Seven Nation Army, because that's what he heard for all those months, year, when he did commentary with McAfee. So he's like, he hears this music, he's like, I didn't know what it was. And Triple H is in my ear, he's like, are you gonna sell this? And he's like, sell what? Like, what is this? And then he's like, I looked up at the screen, I saw your name, and then I saw, he's like, oh shit, man, okay now. And then like, you started selling, and then he's telling Triple H like, you fuckers, like you ribbed me. And he texted Triple H and Kevin Dunn of like, you motherfuckers. And they laughed about it. So really fun stuff for McAfee on his show, and then Michael Cole joining and talking about his side of things with McAfee coming back.
They have such a wholesome friendship, Pat McAfee. Oh yeah, and Michael Cole. It's actually, it's so much fun to watch. My favorite is you talking about, you know, McAfee was working out, planning for a Rumble return, and then was like, nah, I'm not in ring shape. Come on, wrestling fans, we need to keep that same energy we had for The Rock saying that he wasn't coming back in time for Mania. You gotta give it to Pat now. Be like, come on, Pat, you're in great shape. You could clearly go. You're a big, muscly man. Come on, wrestling fans. Go after Pat McAfee next. Let's do it. Let's go. This is a fun article.
McAfee at least showed up. This other guy. He ain't showing up for anything.
His mom shows up more than he does.
Best wishes to his mom, though. She was involved in a car accident.
Thank you for bringing that up. I did want to make a point to say that. So thank you. Yes. So this Pat McAfee article, listen, the man's going to come back and wrestle eventually. It's good that he knew his limitations, given that he wasn't ready. And it was still a lot of fun even though he absolutely ruined that Hardy performance that was already subpar to begin with.
I mean, I don't even remember this Hardy performance. I blocked that out of my memory and McAfee talking over it. So sure.
That's when the Mountain Dew Pitch Black finally took its course with you.
No. Yeah, probably. That sounds about right.
Oh dear.
Who could possibly care about this Hardy performance?
It's true. It was not good. Rebbie Hardy beyond a piano would have been much better.
Oh, Rebbie Hardy's great.
She rules. Let's move on. Let's talk about Jon Moxley. Some people like to golf. I like to step into a cage and stab people with sharp things. Jon Moxley is a man of few words, but when he says them, he has plenty of bangers. Justin Kinner's show is where Moxley made his appearance. He doesn't want to fish. He just wants to beat people up and make them bleed. And he wants to bleed himself, because if there's one thing Jon Moxley's going to do in a match, it's find a way to bleed. You were at Dynamite this past week, Jeremy Lambert. You saw it. Talk to me about Mox on Justin Kinner's show.
This was recorded before Dynamite, as you know, promotion for everything. Moxley rules because he just says shit and he clearly just doesn't care what he says. And he obviously just like really loves pro wrestling, which more power to him. Because he was actually asked, the question was like frame of like, you show up every week, you go out there and bleed, like you go on the independents, like I see you like doing smaller shows. Like he was at Wrestling Revolver on Thursday after doing Dynamite on Wednesday.
It was his show. The name was
they named it after him. Yeah, he loves Wrestling Revolver. He just shows up there. He doesn't wrestle for them anymore because of contract stuff, but like he still shows up just to make good on like dates and support the promotion, because it's an Ohio-based promotion as well, so he likes to support the promotion and everything. But yeah, Moxley's just, he's like, yeah, you know, some people just like, they find entertainment in golfing. Like, I just like to go in there and hit people with weapons, stab people with things. And he says, like, you know, bleeding, like I feel comfortable just doing that, like it's exciting to me, just like a little bit of blood from the eyebrow, it's good shit. And like any Moxley match, he's gonna bleed, right? Like he bled against Hangman's biting him where he's bleeding. Jon Moxley is just one of my favorite people to just like listen to in general. Like any interview that Jon Moxley does, one, he has just a great way with words because it's very organic and free flowing with him. And two, like the stories the man tells, he clearly doesn't have like any type of like limitations, or he doesn't feel the need to like hold anything back. He kind of goes. And he's a fascinating man, that Jon Moxley. Another fascinating man on this show that we've been talking about.
Fascinating and simple. I mean, how fascinating can a man who thinks the sandwich is the best food in the world, how can he be so interesting, yet he finds a way? It's actually quite endearing.
He's the best. Jon Moxley's the best.
Also, whenever he speaks, I can only think of it's just the way he speaks. All I can think is, like, regardless of what room he's in, he's always got the Mox voice on. You know, that vocal fry, smoking a pack a day. That's the only voice I got from Mox. No, this is a fun article. And you know what? This was a fun episode. We actually did it, and we did it in good time. Do we have anything we want to add this week?
I don't know. No. Yes.
Plug stuff?
Butt stuff?
I said plug stuff. Although I guess if you're doing the former, then the latter comes into play as well.
Exactly. Good job picking that up, Joel Pearl. No, you plug stuff, and I'll plug stuff.
Oh, okay. We'll go backwards this time. All right, sure. Fightful Overbook, subscribe to us here. Every day we're dropping content. There's a lot of it. Jeremy's going to talk about it. I'm going to be dropping a new episode of Strong Style with myself and Jared Delaware any day now. Tim and Joel, we're still going. Soon it's going to be Joel and Kate. We did make that announcement, but of course then Kate decided to go on a cruise and then decided that she's a football fan. So she'll eventually show up. She's going to be like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Kate,
stolen. Working this Brock Lesnar schedule.
Working the worst schedule imaginable for my brain, I tell you that much. What else is going on? I started a new show with Ella J. It is not a Fightful property. It's called The Run Sheet. If you check us out at The Run Sheet Pod or anywhere you find your podcast, search The Run Sheet. You'll find us there. We talk about wrestling news on Wednesdays, and then on Saturdays, we're talking about all the TV show stuff, all the stuff that you saw on wrestling TV that week. We're going to break it down, talk about it. We have a little fun with it too. Ella and I are really excited to start this new venture. We dropped our first episode this past Wednesday, so come and check us out. And I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Oh, I normally go into the last part, but now Jeremy's going to do the thing. So go ahead.
Don't follow me on Twitter. Follow Steven Jensen on Twitter at @FightTalk_. Yes, a lot of stuff on Fightful Overbooked. We actually are like living up to our new content daily thing, which I'm very happy about. Very proud.
We're overbooking, overbooked. Yeah,
we actually are like overbooking stuff. No, we got a good schedule of everything. We do have an NXT watch along tonight. People can come and hang out with various cast and crew members if you would like to do that. So we got NXT watch along tonight. We have new episode of whoever decides to put up with Joel Pearl for an hour or two on Sunday. So that's about that.
The NXT show that would have been the night before, but yeah, okay.
Yes. Tag Talk did fantastic this week. Shout out to Haley and Kylie, they rule. So everyone go watch Tag Talk. Indeed with Mike and Reg, that premiered on Thursday. They're covering the world of independent professional wrestling. Very happy to have that show on the channel. We have a new episode of New Japan Overbooked as well with Matt and Karen talking about Wrestle Kingdom and the upcoming New Beginning shows. So go check that out. We have our betting odds prediction preview show, myself and This Week SB3, because Jared Bailey does football. He thinks football is more important than wrestling for some reason.
Gross.
So we have our betting odds preview with myself and SB3 for NXT Vengeance Day. And then I think that's FMC. If people want to watch Cher Delaware, not on Strong Style, play with like penis trophies and talk about her dating life. And that's the thing. And things like that. And myself and SB3 talk about basketball and bad reality television. A lot of nonsense on that show. True Heel Rewind is back as well. Make sure to show them some love. And I don't know, man. Like coexisting, can't forget about coexisting. Yeah. Every Fridays with Rob and Maggie. Go check that out. So yes, there's literally new content daily. Where like there's gaming streams that we're behind on that I'll upload at some point. And then our interviews from the spotlight. We had the great dad Nathan Barnett talking about Danny DeVito stories and Always Sunny in Philadelphia and portable Nintendo 64s. Joel Pearl, did you know this was a thing? He created his own portable Nintendo 64. I'm not joking. He showed it to us on camera. Everyone go check out our interview. Dad, not only Dad, but John Morrison, Johnny Spotlight was on there as well. They talked to Creator Clash 2, which is coming up in April. They are great. So all bunch of content here on Fightful Overbooked. Subscribe, give us a thumbs up. We try to cover a little bit of everything with a lot of different personalities.
And of course, Jeremy and I, we're here every single Saturday. So we start your morning with some news and a little bit of this. Because we didn't use it this week. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.